knowledge beyond dreams. Discover That's the Way Love Goes, a collection of short stories by Mark Marcus. Go to thatsthewaylovegoes.net and let the dreams begin.
Hi, this is Mark, and welcome back to Candle Short. I'm recording this on Saturday, July 21st, 2012, and as many of you will know, yesterday, Friday on the 20th at approximately 12:30 a.m. Mountain time in Colorado, Aurora, Colorado, a guy went into a movie theater and shot up the place. I'm going to give you the four reasons or the four aspects, in my opinion, that caused this to happen. People are acting so stunned and shocked, and I don't understand why. It makes perfect sense to me. When I started to plan this show today, I was thinking about the things that I would not talk about. For example, the fact that as a society, we worship violence these days. Look at the movies that people go to see. You know, as you watch these movies, you become desensitized to it. And the more that happens, the more blurred between reality and fiction becomes. That's just a fact. You know, it cracks me up. Of course, the news media, of course, is the usual whores that it is. You know, they love milking this. I mean, I've never seen, I swear to you, the more tragic things are, the more the media seems to love it. They just love saying the same thing over and over and over. So I have no faith in the media whatsoever. In fact, I think the media is part of the problem, as I will discuss in just a few seconds. It's also, I find it very interesting that nobody seems to wonder. They talk about these three-month-old child and a six-year-old, apparently, that was killed. Nobody seems to find it interesting that why would you take a six-year-old to a Batman movie at 12 a.m.? Now, I know that's not the point, but I just... No one seems to think, well, what the hell were you doing with a six-year-old at that kind of movie? Or who takes a three-month-old into a movie? I mean, I just don't get it. The media and the people and all the things that we talk about, nobody talks about the basic underlying reasons why people were there. You know, I won't waste your time with it here, but I just want to raise that up as a matter of a talking point, which is, why is a three-month-old and a six-year-old and young kids, nine-year-old, eight-year-olds, being at a movie like this at 12:30 a.m.? I don't get it. It says a lot about parenting, and I think the lack thereof. Right? There's no excuse for what happened. I'm not suggesting that, but geez, you know, just think about it, will you? Will you think about it? You know, he's got an attorney now, and people are saying, well, you know, at first he was talking and being cooperative. Now he's clammed up. Well, of course he has. Now he's thinking about what he's done, and a lot of mental and emotional aspects of his personality are now reasserting themselves. So the fact that he's got an attorney and the fact that he's clammed up shouldn't surprise anybody. Now, what I find interesting is how everybody seems to be wanting to find a motive. And I'll tell you why. Because if the truth is, there was no, and I'll stand by this, I will be proven right on this, there is no single motive. The reason everybody wants a motive is because it'll make them feel better. Well, he had a vendetta against the sister school system. He had a vendetta against the hospital. He had a bad experience at the theater. His girlfriend did something to him. His wife did something. You get the idea? When people try, when they want to, we as a species tend to want to bring order to chaos. We have a need to do that. And part of getting a motive or determining a motive makes us feel better. The fact that there may not be a direct motive or even a conscious motive is unsettling to us. You think about it. Why did the Titanic sink? People had to find the reason because, after all, if it just sank and everything, if everything worked just fine and it still went under, well, what does that say about our travels on a boat? Do you get the idea? And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that there was no single direct motive. And you're going to find these kind of things happening more and more for the reasons I'm about to list. But I want to make it very clear to you, there will never be. I'm sure that his attorney will claim insanity and the usual. We hear this stuff so many times, it doesn't matter anymore. But and we all know the talking points even before the pundits start speaking. But I'm telling you, if you think he went into that theater thinking, okay, I'm going to get back at so-and-so and this and this and that and that, if you really think that, then you are deluding yourself. It's not going to happen. So stop trying to bring order to chaos. I got into an argument with a friend of mine Thursday. We were in a park, and somebody, three or four people, kept walking up to us saying, God bless you, God bless you. And we got into this little debate about God. I won't take the debate here. But I said, you know, it's interesting that people don't blame God when things go wrong, but he gets all the credit when they go right. You know, she's like, well, you got to have faith and God protects those. And I remember after this shooting incident in Aurora, we spoke and I said, where was your God when that six-year-old was getting killed? Just interesting. I don't know. So here are my four reasons that I figure have determined led to this. Number one, some people truly live inside movies. I've come across a lot of people in my life who know more about what's going on in Hollywood than they do in their own neighborhoods. Television and fiction dominate their lives. I don't know if it's because their life is so unhappy. Maybe they don't have enough money. I don't know what it is. I don't know if any of us can determine that. But some people truly do begin to live and daydream about being part of the movies. I don't mean that somebody wants to dress up like the Joker in the movie. I mean, this guy did. He dyed his hair like the Joker and all kinds of nuts. And I think this is true of this person. You start fantasizing about being a character in the movie. Part of the reason I think this is because, as I understand it, his apartment is booby-trapped. That's not original, you know. Years ago, there was a movie called Speed. I think it was about a runaway bus. And the bomber in that movie had set a booby trap at his apartment. And when the police went into the apartment, kaboom, right? So this is, none of this is original. This is all, if you think about it, and I guess if you look at movies as a parody of life, then I guess you'll see you can find any movie to back up any action if you look hard enough, right? But I'm just saying that's not unique. You say, well, yeah, Mark, but he told the police about the booby traps. Well, again, that'll take us to the last point in just a second. So I think that this person, you know, it's fallen into the movies. I remember, especially people who watch the gangster movies, you know, and I mean, like The Godfather and stuff. You know, there's always this part of us who wants to fantasize ourselves as being part of something. I don't know. When I watch my favorite television shows, sometimes I ask myself, now, if I were going to be in this show, or if this were reality, which character do I most resemble? I do find myself doing that. And most of the characters I identify with don't carry guns. Thank goodness for everybody, huh? Okay, so that's number one, falling into the movies. Number two, I think he wants to be noticed. See, we live in a world now where modesty doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't. No one cares if you're a nice person. Nice people don't get noticed. Average people don't get noticed. They don't. Think about it. If you save someone's life, you may get a mention. You may get a mention on the evening news. You may even get a citation, you know, but you're not going to get, no one's going to, unless you save, a bunch of, a bus full of nuns, you might get mentioned more than once. But for the most part, violence has a lot to do with people being noticed. Even the military, you know, when people get killed or they kill somebody else of notability, notoriety, one of those note words. Anyway, violence has a lot to do with it. Some people, you know, they got people discovering new and making amazing discoveries in physics. How many of you know their names? How many of us know their names? Okay, so you discovered a new element in physics, or you discovered some new medicine. Great. But rarely do people who do, where there is no violence, are they noticed by the world. And as we go through and you get older and older and you realize, hey, I'm doing everything I can right, and yet no one seems to give a damn. Now, one could say, well, this particular person was in medical school. He was very bright. Yes, it's true. But somehow I don't think being a neuroscientist, even though, you know, maybe Who knows? He could have come up with some major cure if given time. But it's not the same as having the adoration or having people, the common people, appreciate you. So I think he wants to be noticed. And unfortunately, the quickest way to be noticed by the media is to do something horrific. Not good, but to do something bad, or to take out somebody, or to do something to someone who is doing something bad. It's easier to pick up a gun and shoot somebody or shoot a bunch of people. You know, do you remember a couple of years ago when all these freeway chasings were going on? First, it was road rage, people shooting people on the freeway. Then it got to be these police high-speed chases. And then we saw an increase of those because people were getting their 15 minutes of fame. So yeah, this is about a 15-minute, another one of the example of a 15-minute fame thing. Now, number three have to do with this person, like a lot of us, a lot of people, who feel socially isolated. When people are socially isolated, and this could be because of their circle, it could be because of their personality, it could be because of their intellect, it could be because of their social status, it could be because of their financial status. But when people are isolated, they tend to get resentful of those who do not appear to be isolated. You know, I was at a place a couple of weeks ago. I won't name the organization, but I do belong to this organization. And then whenever I go there, and I perform volunteer work for them, and whenever I go there, despite all the time I've been there, I find myself usually sitting alone. People will walk up and say, hi, how are you doing? You're doing great work, marvelous job, blah, blah, blah. And then they go over to the table with their friends, and I'm usually sitting by my left alone. It is the damnedest thing I've ever seen. And yes, before you say, well, Mark, what have you done? Listen, those of you who know me know that I'm a social person, and you know I got no problem conversing with anyone. But for whatever reason, I always seem to be on the outside looking in. And you know what? When you're sitting alone, or especially when you've made the effort, and people walk up to you, I don't know how people can do this. I personally could never do this. There was a time, 20 years ago, when, quote unquote, I was in the in group, and I would see people sitting alone. And I always said, hey, let's bring them over to our table. I don't like, you know, assuming that they wanted to be there. Say, hey, you want to come over and talk to us? And 99% of the people to whom I reached out to said, yeah, thank you. That's the way I am. That's me. Apparently, in today's world, and these people that I'm talking about are not young people. So there's no excuse for that. But as you sit alone in a crowded room, you begin to be resentful. You start thinking the vicious maggots. What, you know, you don't mean to, but it happens. And after a while, it's somewhat being isolated. It turns to anger, or it turns to resentment, and then the resentment turns to anger, and then you want to get back at the bastards. Now, a smart person, or I should say, a rational person, realizes that it's just emotions, it's feelings, and it's like, well, yeah, you'd love to rip their tongues out and shove it down their back down their throats. But you know you can't do that because that's not the way society is. But the resentment is there. It really is. And so they, you know, so far it's been less than 24 or 48 hours since this incident at this point. But they say he was alone. They talk about lone wolves. Well, the key word here is lone, or alone. Not alone, like going, give me a loan, but alone. Loneliness breeds contempt. So if he was truly alone or felt alone, now mind you, some of our isolation is the work of our own deeds. You know, we choose to be alone. Some people just don't get out. They don't make the effort. I don't know enough about this man to make a call on that. I do know, though, that in order to do what somebody does in these situations, they truly resent everybody, and certainly anybody or everybody who appears to be in a group, the in group, the other group. And it's amazing because I'm telling you, as I've seen this, I've been, I was going to say a victim of it, but it's not really a victim. I've been in situations where people will, again, walk up to me, say, hi, great job, good to see you, and then walk away with their table of friends and completely ignore you regardless. Okay, number four. So let's recap before I do this. So the first one, The first reason has to do with blurring the line between reality and fiction and becoming desensitized to violence. That's number one. Number two, getting immediate fame or immediate notification by the world to be the center of attention, to act on something. Number three, resentment of society. And this is number four that we haven't covered yet. And this is the simplest, most basic reason why I think all these people do what they do. Now, I'm talking about people who run amok and start shooting up what we call innocent people, because they are innocent. They had nothing to do with it. It's so simple. It's also very, very scary. He wants to die. Period. People who do these, what seems to be random acts of violence, although it's not really random if you look at the planning that goes behind it, they want to die. They're done. Tired. It's either going to be suicide by police. Now, you can say this, well, wait a minute, Mark. Hold on. Something's wrong. Anybody who wants to die by the police, suicide by police, or to be taken out while they're committing an act of crime, is not going to have body armor and all the military garb that this guy had. I disagree. Because it goes back to the fantasy of how history will remember you. It goes back to the losing yourself in the movie. It goes back to whatever movie's playing, whatever is in your head. It's not, the four reasons I'm giving are all kind of intertwined. You need to keep that in mind. And when you get to the point where you want to die, or that is to say you no longer care about living, then anything you do with regards to hurting other people can only hasten your departure. Now, a lot of you are going to say, wait, there's something wrong with Mark saying, because if that's true, then why wouldn't he put the police at a standoff? Why would? And here's something to consider. When you reach a point of resentment, when you reach a point of not caring, because I think some of these things just start out as, I wonder how far can I pull this off? How far can this go? But you got to keep in mind that there's, you know, in all of us, think about it. Think about yourself for a minute. Are you one person or are you many people inside one body? For some reason, whenever we look at other people outside ourselves, we only see one person. But for any of you who are honest with yourself, you know that there's multiple personalities inside you. And it's a matter of what day, what hour, what event takes place as to which aspect of your personality is going to dominate. And so, in an instant, and this is not insanity, in an instant, like, well, let's see how far I can get. Let me, you know, what if I dye my hair? What if? Let's see. And then the other person kicks into the party where I resent the vicious, you know, whatever. The maggots that did this. Or, you know, it's just a bunch of things all spinning together that form this deadly concoction of action. This is really where we're coming to. So after you shoot people, then, it's done. It's like you did it. And then you're like, well, now what am I going to do now? Okay, so what, you want to stand off? Yeah, maybe. But this particular person is not a stupid person. And I assert that whatever part of him, whatever part of us, whatever part of society reasons begins to reassert itself, like, okay, the reasonable thing to do. And then, you know, let's face it, if you go out in a blaze of glory, then you're not going to get to enjoy the fame you have. It's very complicated. But what is very simple is that there is no one underlying motive. There is no one reason in this instance. And that's the long and short of it, boys and girls. That's it. So when you see somebody or think of the next time you're in a group of people and you see somebody sitting alone, why don't you get off your lazy butt and walk over and say, hey, are you all right? How are you doing? Would you like to join us? And I mean, obviously, this is going to be a situationally appropriate gesture. But if you're in a situation, certainly one where, you know, you see people sitting alone and you don't make an effort like, what's wrong with them? You know, You never know what's harboring in their minds. Now, you could, and this is not to be self-serving, but I really believe this just in general. People say, well, what could we do to prevent this? Oh, there's so many things. We could stop glorifying movies, for one. People could make an effort to get to know other people and not see people. I mean, I've seen this. Not, and even, listen, I've been on the other side of it a lot, too. When I have been in a restaurant or in a group of people, and I say, it's like, oh, I walk over, I'll say, you know, how are you doing? Nice day. Make an effort, for God's sakes. I'm not suggesting that it's anyone's fault of what this fool did. I don't want any of you saying, well, Mark doesn't think it's, listen, I'm not appalled by it. I'm not surprised by it. I'm not stunned by it. I'm really not. To me, it's, you're going to see more and more of these things happen. More and more. Because as a society, people are becoming more and more isolated. The next time you see people who are somebody sitting alone or walking alone and you and a group of people and, instead of trying to avoid them, why don't you make an effort and say hi? You know, it may have just been a matter of one person ignoring this person, or it could be, you just never know. But make an effort of including people. Not excluding people. And then if you don't exclude people, then maybe, just maybe, it could be enough to make a person say, hey, maybe not all people are bad. Not all people are bad. Listen, remember to make a joyful noise, especially during these trying times. And I'll see you back here soon. Take care.